Hare Krishna. So, before I begin, I'd first like to take the blessings from the assembled Vaishnavas, of whom most are very senior to me. So, with your permission, although I'm certainly unqualified to be sitting here speaking anything, if you give me your blessings, then maybe somehow or other I can say something at least bona fide. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 16. The chapter is entitled Descriptions of Jambadweep. And today we'll be reading text 4. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The verse is a prose verse, so I'll just try to read through it and then read the translation. Rishivacha Navai Maharaj Bhagavato Maya Guna Vibhute Kashtam Manasavachasa Varigantam Malam Vibhuya Sapi Purushastasmat Paranayena Eva Bhugaloka Vishesham Namarupa Manalakshanato Vyakyasyamaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. The great Rishi Shukadev Goswami said, "My dear King, there is no limit to the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's material energy. This material world is a transformation of the material qualities, sattvagun, rajagun, tamogun. Yet no one could possibly explain it perfectly, even in a lifetime as long as that of Lord Brahma. No one in the material world is perfect, and an imperfect person could not describe this material universe accurately, even after continued speculation. O King, I shall nevertheless try to explain to you the principal regions such as Bhugaloka, with their names, forms, measurements, and various symptoms." Purport. The material world is only 1/4 of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's creation, but it is unlimited and impossible for anyone to know or describe, even with the qualification of a life as long as that of Brahma, who lives for millions and millions of years. Modern scientists and astronomers try to explain the cosmic situation and the vastness of space, and some of them believe that all the glittering stars are different suns. From Bhagavad Gita, however, we understand that all these stars, nakshatras, are like the moon, and that they reflect the sunshine. They are not independent luminaries. Bhuloka is explained to be that portion of outer space through which the heat and light of the sun extend. Therefore, it is natural to conclude that this universe extends in space as far as we can see and encompasses the glittering stars. Srila Shukadeva Goswami admitted that to give full details of this expansive material universe would be impossible. But nevertheless, he wanted to give the king as much knowledge as he had received through the parampara system. We should conclude that if one cannot comprehend the material expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly cannot estimate the expansiveness of the spiritual world. The Brahma Samhita 5.33 confirms this. Advaitam achutam anadim ananta rupam adyam purana purusham navayovanam cha. The limits of the expansions of Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be estimated by anyone, even a person as perfect as Brahma, not to speak of tiny scientists whose senses and instruments are all imperfect and who cannot give us information of even this one universe. We should therefore be satisfied with the information obtainable from Vedic sources as spoken by authorities like Shukadeva Goswami. I'd first like to begin with a gesture of great appreciation for all of the devotees here who are continuing to kindly tolerate me and allow me into your wonderful and inspiring association. I'd like to say that my time here so far, Shishi Radha Gopinath ki, Shishi Gaurinita ki, Gopal ji ki, that my time here has been exceptionally inspiring and enlivening, and I would just like to thank everyone who's made me feel so welcome and so at home. I see that this mood of welcoming and making everyone feel part of this big family is exceptionally inspiring, and one that I hoped that by the mercy of the assembled Vaishnavas, I'm able to take away and implant in other places within ISKCON. So for this, I thank you all very much. I'd like to begin by pointing out Shukadev Goswami's sincere humility in attempting, although he stated that it's impossible to actually explain and describe the Lord's material energy, he's explained that actually it's impossible, that no one can know it. And yet, he's so humble, he's saying, but somehow or other, I'm going to try to express now what I've heard in Guru Parampara. So this shows his great humility and also his exceptional desire to serve the Vaishnavas. Understanding Parikshit Maharaj's desire, understanding the seriousness of the situation, although an enlightened soul, he's already said that actually it's impossible to describe the material energy of the Lord, the separated energy of the Lord, the Lord's material manifestation, yet still he's going to make some effort and endeavor and in this way to explain to King Parikshit. In the 10th canto, there's one nice prayer by Lord Brahma, just after the Brahma Mohan Leela, where Lord Brahma is explaining that out of so many learned philosophers and scientists who may one day be able to calculate or count all the atoms in the earth, or count all the snowflakes, or count all the sparkling beams of light that are coming from the sun and other luminaries, although maybe someday they'll be able to do this, actually, which one of them can count all the amazing qualities that the Supreme Lord possesses, all of the transcendental qualities, who can actually count those? Actually, Lord Brahma himself is making this statement. And we can understand that Lord Brahma, who is Lord Brahma? Lord Brahma is the original creator of this universe. To Lord Brahma, the Supreme Lord imparted all the Vedic knowledge. So this is Lord Brahma who's making this statement that actually understanding all of your transcendental qualities is impossible. Even if some learned philosophers or learned scientists one day are able to count the atoms of the earth, the snowflakes, the beams of light, even if they are, maybe someday, which of course they won't be able to. We can understand in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Sankarshan, he's actually counted all of the atoms of the earth and all of the molecules within the universe. Yet, with his many hoods, many mouths, many tongues, he's chanting the glories of the Lord from time immemorial, and still, to this very day, he has not reached an end. So the glories of the Lord can never be completely conveyed or understood. So what to speak of the nature of the material energy, the Lord's pastimes, so many amazing qualities. Actually, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada uses the the term gunatma. And he explains that this means the supreme soul of all qualities. So he explains that Krishna is the supreme soul of all qualities. And in another purport, it's explained, purport to where the Nagapatnis, they actually use this same term, gunatma. when describing the Lord in their prayers after his dancing upon the head of Kaliya's serpent. And Prabhupada explains in that purport that the word guna has three meanings. He gives three meanings there. The first one is, of course, guna as the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamogun. But then he explains also it's superior qualities or excellent qualities that one may have because of pious activities or spiritual achievements. Then he also explains that guna means the internal senses, meaning the mind and intelligence. So the Nagapatnis, they use a sentence to describe the Lord in the way that he who manifests all material and spiritual qualities and is the cause of the living entity's consciousness. Now this term, gunatma, is also used by Prabhupada in the Light of the Bhagavat, which is a very beautiful book. Srila Prabhupada wrote in order for preaching, I think, in China. And in this term, guna, again is used. We also know that Prabhupada explains in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that this word guna means rope or string. And he gives this analogy that guna is used, the gunas, they bind us like ropes and tie us. Now, in the Light of the Bhagavat, Srila Prabhupada uses this term guna. And the analogy of using, he says that the Supreme Lord is like a rainbow, a bow without a guna, without a string. He explains that because he appears of his own accord and descends and is untouched by the material world, therefore he's not bound. So he's like a beautiful rainbow. And actually a rainbow in the rainy season, he explains, Krishna is like this in the way that he can appear, manifest and disappear without any worries of the material rain clouds or the thunder clouds like this. So the Supreme Lord is Gunatma. Actually, he is the Supreme Soul, Supreme Possessor of all qualities. And in this way, we can understand that because he is the Supreme Person, because he is Supreme Possessor and Creator of all qualities, he's certainly untouched by the material energy and untouched by all the material qualities. Although, as Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring here to know more about the Lord's Virat Rupa, his universal form, it's explained that form is actually illusionary. That this form does not exist. But still, Sukadev Goswami is going to make an endeavor and attempt to explain this. It's interesting the purport to the Nagapatnis, Sanatan Goswami, he explains that the Lord descends into the material world to actually exhibit these godly qualities, and actually to inspire others to follow in his footsteps and actually to try and become a possessor, try to emanate some of these godly qualities. And by making an endeavor in this way, the Lord will take us back to the spiritual world. And Srila Sanatan Goswami, he continues to explain that actually, in this way, each and every one of the living entities, the Lord, he exhibits a certain quality, a specific quality that each and every one of the living entities is attracted to in the Lord. So in this way, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he exhibits a quality to each and every one of the living entities. So to each and every one of us, there's a specific quality about the Lord that attracts us. So in this way, the Lord is manifesting himself to all the living entities in a varied way, in a way that's individual and personal to each and every one of us. In the same way that the Lord manifests himself to each and every one of his 16,108 wives, in the same way that in the Rasa dance, the Lord is personally present to each one of the gopis. So in this way, the Lord is also presenting himself to each and every one of the living entities with this individual quality. So the living entities, it's explained that actually no one can understand the Supreme Lord. No one can explain or express. Actually, no one can understand or explain the qualities of the Supreme Lord except those who are dear to the Supreme Lord, except the devotees. Actually, in that same purport, there's a word, Swasamvide, and the Nagapatnis use this word to explain that only the Lord can only be known by his devotees, and most perfectly, only by himself. So the devotees of the Lord, they can begin to understand the qualities of the Lord, because the Lord is personally, he's manifesting himself for each and every living entity. So when the devotee becomes attracted and begins to reawaken this dormant love for the Supreme Lord, he can begin to know and understand Krishna. And each and every one of us can begin to understand and know Krishna in our own personal and individual way. So this, actually it's explained because this is the way that we can understand and know the Supreme Lord, therefore we should just surrender ourselves to Krishna, Sarvadharma Parityaja, completely surrender ourselves to the Supreme Lord, and therefore begin to worship the Lord and understand the Lord in a way that he begins to reveal himself to us. So this pastime, Lord Brahma, he is offering this prayer in a mood of great humility, because this prayer of expressing that learned scholars and scientists, they can never understand the Supreme Lord. They can never actually repeat or communicate the immense number of qualities that the Supreme Lord has. So Lord Brahma has been humbled. As I was saying, Lord Brahma is obviously the supreme living entity in this material world. This Lord Brahma has four heads. As I was reading, I was thinking how proud I am with my one little head, how much intelligence I think emanates from my one head. And here we have Lord Brahma with his four heads, who's the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of our Sampradaya, who instructed Narada Muni, who then instructed Srila Vyasadeva, who compiled the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra, who's given us all this Vedic knowledge. So here's Lord Brahma, who is the beginning of the entire universe. The Vedic knowledge was first imparted to him, and he's the creator of this material universe, and he's offering these prayers. You must think that actually Lord Brahma, who's the supreme creator, he must be able to know everything. He must understand the material qualities. He must understand the nature of the material world. And getting this knowledge directly from Krishna, we imagine that he must actually understand Krishna, but still he is offering these prayers. We can see in this Brahma Mohan Leela that actually Lord Brahma was watching the pastime of the Agasura demon, where the devotees, they exhibited such fearlessness. They exhibited this fearlessness, so much fearlessness and so much confidence in the Supreme Lord that they entered into the mouth of the Agasura demon and allowed the Agasura demon to close his mouth, and they were completely confident that the Lord would protect them. And of course, the Lord did. After this, Lord Brahma was thinking, who is this little boy who's performing such amazing pastimes, who's killing this Agasura demon? So Lord Brahma thought, okay, I'll have a little fun now. And then as the cowherd boys and Krishna were sitting on the bank of the Jamuna, enjoying nice lunch after this pastime, Krishna, the cows began to escape. I'm sure everyone knows this pastime. But the cows began to escape. And Lord Krishna, as not to disturb the cowherd boys, he told them to stay seated you just stay here, enjoy your lunch. I'll go and search out the cows who were running off. So he went off, and when he came back, the cowherd boys were gone, the cows were gone, and Lord Brahma had taken them away. So Lord Brahma had taken the cows away and disappeared for him what was a second, but for what us in this world know as 1 year. And then after that year, he returned to see that actually all the cowherd boys were still there, all of the cows were still there, and Krishna was still enjoying as if nothing had happened. So this completely perplexed Lord Brahma. He was completely bewildered by seeing this this pastime of the Lord. And he began to think that actually I'm playing with fire here. I think I've done something that is that maybe is in accordance with the way that I should be acting. Maybe this little boy is something more than I anticipated. So then Lord Krishna, he exhibited his Vishnu forms. In fact, he exhibited his Vishnu forms in all of the cows and all of the cowherd boys. And it's described that actually this was so magnificent when he was exhibiting these Vishnu forms. The analogy is given that actually like the sun reflects in many little puddles. It wasn't like this, where there's no heat or light coming from the puddles, but actually Krishna himself, as Lord Vishnu, was personally present within each and every one of the cows and cowherd boys. So he was exhibiting his Vishnu form, and then each one of these Vishnu forms was surrounded by the demigods who were all chanting prayers and glorifying the Supreme Lord. Actually, around each Vishnu form was also Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is himself there watching this, and he's seeing this magnificence. All of a sudden, he's experiencing like Lord Vishnu in so many expansions personally there, and he becomes completely bewildered. And Krishna could see that he was becoming bewildered to a point, a state of shock, where he was like almost about to fall over in complete amazement. So it's explained that the Lord then pulled his Yogamaya curtain very suddenly, and actually he then revealed Vrindavan to Lord Brahma. And it's actually explained that Lord Brahma kind of shook his head and opened his eyes, and then he could see all the fields of Vrindavan. He could see the trees. He could feel the breeze in the trees of Vrindavan. He could hear the birds, the parrots. He could hear the streams running. He could see the cows, the goats, Govardhan Hill, the cowherd boys. He could see Vrindavan. And in that moment, he realized that this Vrindavan is a very, very special place. That actually it's a transcendental place, completely free from lust and greed, because this Supreme Personality, Krishna, has appeared here. And in that moment, Lord Brahma became so overwhelmed that he came down off of his carrier, and he immediately offered dandavats, obeisances, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. It's explained placing all four of his heads on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he began to shed tears of ecstasy on the feet of the Lord, and he offer obeisances, then he would stand up, and then he would offer obeisances again, and then he would stand up, and then he would offer obeisances again and again and again, and he was just so completely overwhelmed that somehow or other he was allowed and being given the mercy of getting the darshan of the Supreme Lord. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So in this way, Lord Brahma, who has full authority over all of the demigods, all the knowledge of Mother Saraswati, supreme authority of the Vedas, creator of the universe, he was completely bewildered and completely humbly submitted himself before the Supreme Lord, offering prayers. And in these prayers, explaining that actually, I'm completely, completely nothing in your presence. I can know nothing about you. I understand nothing. You're just so, so supremely magnificent and so beyond everything that I can understand that there's no alternative, no choice for me but to offer my prayers and offer my obeisances to you. So we're also very fortunate in that we have the opportunity to get the darshan of the Lord each and every day. We come before the deity and the curtains open every morning. The curtains open to give us magnificent darshan of the Lord. Then we sing prayers. We sit down to chant our rounds, chant japa, chant the holy names, which is non-different from the Lord, giving us another opportunity at a personal darshan experience of the Supreme Lord. So for me, I was thinking how this pastime and how even Lord Brahma can't understand the Supreme Lord, yet still, in my puffed up condition, I'm thinking, anyway, Krishna, and there's Krishna, I read about Krishna, I may know something like this. But moreover, as time goes on, I begin to take for granted more and more the darshan of the Lord in his deity form or the holy name. Sometimes we were hearing yesterday how devotees, at least maybe not so much now in this temple, but in other temples, at 1 second before the curtains open, they fly into the temple room, half-dressed, still putting on tilak, you know, not even able to offer obeisances before the curtains open. Then the curtains open, it's like, oh yeah, Jai, I made it, I'm here, you know. So, and then as the prayers, as we're singing prayers in glorification of the spiritual master, who is our direct link to the Supreme Lord, as we're singing these prayers, how often do we find that our minds are drifting off? How often do we find that actually we're thinking of something completely irrelevant to the spiritual master or the Supreme Lord? How often are we really analyzing the glorious detail and love and devotion with which the pujaris and the devotees have dressed or been allowed to dress the Supreme Lord? It's so easy for us to take for granted this opportunity to come before the Lord and get his glorious darshan, especially the Supreme Lord Shishi Radha Gopinath, who is so magnificently beautiful and glorious. We take this for granted. We become sidetracked. We have discussions. So many things the mind carries us away. Same, we sit down to chant our rounds. We sit down to chant the holy names. Again, not so much here, but we easily become distracted from the Supreme Lord. We become tired. We start to fall asleep. We nod off. We get up and leave, walk around, do so many things. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explained, he was asked by one Sankirtan devotee, they said, Prabhupada, what's the secret of success on Sankirtan? How can we be most successful? And Srila Prabhupada explained that actually you can be most successful, after hesitating, pausing for some time, he explained that you can be most successful by sitting down in one place and chanting all 16 rounds at one time. So my understanding is this isn't only for book distributors. This isn't only for those who are performing Sankirtan. This is for everyone. If we want to be successful in spiritual life, then actually to sit and chant the holy names with great care and attention is of the utmost importance. Actually, I believe Srila Prabhupada has made the statement that it's like 80 or 90% of our spiritual life and success in our spiritual life is dependent on the chanting of the holy names. He explained that this is actually the most important instruction that he's given. I think in the purport yesterday, Prabhupada explains that you can be successful in spiritual life and go back to the spiritual world simply by chanting your 16 rounds every day. But we have to understand that this doesn't mean just chanting 16 rounds, like, you know, this is how I chant my rounds often, you know. We become busy. Some people have services, so many things, and then If we can't chant in the morning, then we find ourselves wandering around later in the afternoon, just mumbling, forgetting actually that this holy name is non-different from Krishna, non-different from the Supreme Lord, non-different from that same personality that Lord Brahma, who is the supreme creator of the material universe, offered his repeated dandavats at his lotus feet and streaming eyes with tears, completely humbled, that this holy name is non-different from this same Vrindavan Krishna, this little cowherd boy who is perplexed, the most intelligent living entity in this universe. This holy name, this Harinam, is non-different from Krishna himself. And by chanting this holy name, the Supreme Lord is personally present. So how so easily we forget this? For myself, I find that somehow it's because of some pride, some ahankara, some false ego that makes me think that anyway, I have so many other important things to do. Something is more important. My mind can drift, consciousness can go. This pride and false ego of thinking myself so significant, it bewilders me to the point where I forget that actually the chanting of this holy name is the most important thing that I can do in the whole day. Srila Prabhupada also explained this should probably be the most difficult thing that we do all day, to chant our rounds. Because the mind will be screaming. The material desires will be like they're being purified within the heart, and they're screaming out, "Ah, no, I want to do this. I want to get up. I have to do this. Let me do this." So many things. As soon as we sit down to be serious, take darshan of the Lord in the form of his holy name, the mind begins to scream, and we become perplexed, bewildered, and we just follow the mind off, because sometimes this is much easier than pulling the mind back. I was hearing that Gauranga Prabhu was in his lecture the other day was saying there are different distractions for the mind. And he was saying that the anecdote, please correct me if I'm wrong, is to hear, hear, and hear. To hear the holy name. To just keep dragging the mind back. To keep dragging the senses back to hearing the holy name. As we chant the holy name with this sincere conviction, then certainly the Lord will begin to reveal himself to us through his holy name. And we see sometimes when we push through, I'm sure there are devotees here, people have experienced the difficulties in staying awake during japa. Actually, also Bhagavatam, hearing from Bhagavatam is also non-different from the Supreme Lord. So staying awake is so very difficult. But sometimes we experience that we push through, and from the holy name comes some taste, as if some energy from somewhere, some life force has come, and now all of a sudden there's some taste and some pleasure in chanting the holy name. The mind becomes still. So in the same way, we have to push through. Actually, this verse that I was reading from the 10th canto, it's verse 10:14:7. The verse that directly and immediately follows this, I'm sure everyone must know the verse that follows, such a powerful verse. Tatenu kampam susamikshimano. Actually, Lord Brahma then, he explains that that for one who actually, in this life, who can, he explains, who earnestly waits for the causeless mercy of the Lord, who suffers the karmic reactions of his past sinful activities, and who just patiently accepts whatever the Lord is sending, that this sincere soul, that this devotee, he becomes qualified to receive the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. That actually, for him, liberation from suffering in the material world has become his rightful claim. So I find that actually very significant that after Lord Brahma is offering this prayer, that then he recites this verse and explains that it becomes our rightful claim. The Lord, He becomes indebted to us through our sincere desire to tolerate the sufferings of the material world and the reactions of our past sinful activities in dedicated, loving, unconditional devotional service to Him. Then the Lord becomes purchased by us. Actually, this word daya bach is explained that it's like the rightful claim of a son as the heir to his father's inheritance. So in this way, we can take shelter of the holy name, understanding that Krishna Himself personally present there. We can take shelter of the Supreme Lord in the form of the deity, hearing from scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, understanding that the Supreme Lord is so merciful that even in this godforsaken material world, that He's manifested Himself in so many different ways, but we just have to become qualified and develop the eyes to see Him and get His darshan, understanding that actually He's completely gunatma, He's completely transcendental to all the material qualities, but still He's manifested here in the material world for our benefit, for the benefit of His devotees. So we shouldn't waste this opportunity. We should do everything that we can to force ourselves to stay awake, be alert, and be as respectful, always pushing the mind further and further in a mood of love and devotion to the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Please forgive me if I've spoken beyond my realization. If there's a few minutes left, I guess, if anyone has any comments, corrections, or questions. It's Prabhu in the back. I think the mic's not on, is it?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for a nice class. I wanted to ask you, how can we develop this state of mind in which we will pray more? Because I've noticed in my little experience that more precise about the chanting, for example. I was trying many different techniques, and since some of the senior devotees and have some suggestions, it is becoming much better. But I've noticed that with my own efforts, I cannot make any real advancement in the chanting of the Holy Name, because it's only for a short time. And I've noticed that since I really pray to the Holy Name to let me chant I don't know exactly the English word, but to give me permission to chant the name, the Holy Name. So it's like I always try to remember, but it's just the mood. It's not something artificial. It has to be the mood inside the heart that we are constantly praying and trying to to ask Krishna to give us permission to chant the Holy Name. So I think I understand the question. Yes?
So
thanks.
You've kind of answered the question yourself in a way, because you mentioned that you've spoken to senior devotees, you've taken the association of those who are sincerely trying to chant and beg, as you said, for permission from the Holy Name. I remember one lecture, His Grace Ravindra Sarup Prabhu was explaining the three different levels of chanting. And he was explaining that you move from Namabhas to, from Namaparad to Namabhas simply by having the sincere desire. That actually by just having the sincere desire to chant and avoid chant with full attention, conviction, sincerity, and to avoid the 10 offenses. By having this sincere desire, we immediately are transported to the clearing stage of chanting. So obviously our disease in the material world is that we're forgetful of Krishna, always forgetting, and we're affected by the modes. So the modes of ignorance and passion are always having their way with us. So when we sit down to chant, sometimes we don't say this prayer, sometimes we don't even think, you know, we just stick our hands in the bead bag, Aishna, 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 and just chant. So this is our conditioned nature in the material world. But by cultivating a sincere desire, then we may remember. Even if we remember after 2 rounds, 3 rounds, 16 rounds, oh no, I didn't ask permission. You know, we can then beg. We can still beg then. It's never too late to beg and to try to gain entrance into really sincerely chanting the holy names. And the way that we do this is by becoming as absorbed as possible in the association of devotees. Here it's very wonderful. The devotees sit in circles. They chant together. You can see devotees are looking at someone dozes off. Sometimes someone will give them a little tap on the leg, or, you know, everyone's really trying to chant. It's difficult. I can't imagine. It's like someone said, Maya doesn't come here. And I can see during japa periods, I can't imagine Maya even coming within 20 miles of this. It's like the energy is so high with the chanting. Everyone's sitting in circles, and you can see the sincere intensity. Just by coming into the room, immediately you feel, okay, now it's time to chant the holy name. So that association is so important. Reading Srila Prabhupada's books, understanding the importance of chanting the holy name, trying to gain more and more knowledge, attending seminars where senior devotees are speaking about the glories of the holy name, trying to always push ourselves to remember. But as Bhagavatam explains, we are lazy, we have short memories, and we're misguided. So somehow we have to conquer over this conditioning. This is for all of us, and actually just develop that really sincere desire and try to remember in any way that we possibly can. I don't know if that answers your question or if someone else can answer. Okay, we're over time now. So once again, I thank you very much for your kind association, your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.